بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Nizamuddin Markaz, as a routine, there used to be two announcements made. Generally, when Mawla Suleiman Janji, Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he was alive, he used to make these announcements. And I think the approximate words were, Bare Hazrat ne farmaya. Bare Hazrat refers to Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. Ke jo yahan par aaye aur istimai kamon mein sharik na rahe, to apne aap ko yahan par aaye hue na samjhe. The one that comes here to Nizamuddin and doesn't join up in the collective works, bayan, ta'lim, dua, whatever, so he mustn't count himself to be present here. That is, when you have taken the pain to come here, left your homes, and you left all your comforts, and you spent that amount of wealth, you went through difficulty, and then you came here, now it will be a very great misfortune that you did so much and you came here and then you didn't achieve anything. You spent so much, you left all the comforts, you made the sacrifice, you separated everything and then you came here. And after coming here to Nizamuddin and you didn't achieve what you're supposed to be achieving, really it's a big loss. Apne aap ko yahan par aaye hue na samjhe. So then he explained, all right, what is supposed to be done? Here, you come to this type of a place, Markaz, then would some concern join in the collective programs with the focus and concern, join the collective programs. See, there is a hadith which says, Ala inna lillahi fi ayyamikum wa layalikum anfasun latifa ala fal yata'arradu laha. During the day or night, there are certain very special moments, right? Sometimes those moments are during the night, sometimes those moments they come through the day, right? But there are these moments, special moments. So you must see to it that you are focused. Because these moments, what do they require? They require your attention. You're attentive, you gained. When in 1930s somewhere, when there were some problems, you know, in India. So one person, he had some gold, Haun Dasta. Haun Dasta is what they should have in the old days. They have a bowl and they have a hammer to stamp it, make chutney, etc. Now the Bosch machines, all the thing is gone out. So he had all that made in gold. Nowadays the ladies call it Imam Dasto. It's not Imam Dasto, it's Haun Dasta. Right? There are some mistakes in both in Gujarati and in Urdu. They say Imam Dasto. In Urdu also they say the same thing, in Gujarati also they say the same thing. And they'll say is cheez ko anamat rakh lena. Gujarati also say, I cheez ne jarak anamat buki de jo. So it's not anamat, it's amanat. Up till now they say the same thing. So he had this and he had to leave because of the trouble that was taking place and he wanted to move away. So now that he has to move away, so he has to be light. It's easier to carry the cash than carrying so heavy stuffs. The gold also became heavy. So the Bania jeweler that was around in the same street heard about it, and he knows now this person is on the verge of leaving and he's in a state of desperation. So let's take advantage, you see. That's not the Islamic way. Islamic way, if the person is in desperation, then be more considerate. And the modern way is when the person is in desperation, then squeeze him and take him, take everything out of him. And then we'll speak proudly, I got the person, you know. This thing goes for a million, I got it for a couple of thousand, I got it. You see. So we'll speak proudly about it, not realizing that this is not in the spirit of Islamic finance or Islamic business. Islamic business, رَحِيمَ اللَّهُ مُرْعَنْ سَمْحًا إِذَا بَعَ وَاشْتَرَى وَاقْتَزَى. He considered, be kind. We believe in the unseen help of Allah Ta'ala. You'll be considerate and kind to that person. Somehow Allah Ta'ala will favor you. And you believe in your own mind, then you'll be assigned to your own mind. Allah Ta'ala will beset you with some problem or the other. And that came, money came easily, it will go away. Also, there's no barakah in that thing. Money goes away and then you are loaded with problems afterwards. This problem, that worry, this anxiety, this difficulty, all because you believe in your brain, what your mind tells you. But you believe in what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, being considerate to the person, then Allah Ta'ala will create openings for you, ways for you, convenience for you, comfort for you, ease for you. And you just reverse the whole situation, that if you were in the state of desperation and someone tried to squeeze you, how would you feel? Man needs the money. So now that Banya is bargaining with this Muslim that is selling and going out. Somehow he managed to get the hammer. One is the hammer and one is the bowl. He got it for a sixpence and he is celebrating. But he's bargaining for the bowl, so because the bowl is even heavier than the hammer. See? So he's calling for his price. And this Muslim is reluctant. Nonetheless, 2 days later, the Banya had to go past the same shop again. And he sees that the bowl is gone. So he asked the Muslim, what happened to that? He said, no, I sold it. How much? For lesser than what he had offered previously. And Banya got so upset with himself that hammer he had already purchased. So he took that hammer and he broke his knees. And he says, you know, what happened to you? Why did you move out from here? You should have just stayed here stuck. Had you been stuck here, then he would have offered it to you for that price. But you moved out. You went somewhere here, there and all that. You know, you were gallivanting, running around this street, that street. And as a result, you lost out this bargain. So the same token, by Allah Ta'ala, there are those moments. And Allah فَلْيَتَعَرَّدُوا لَهَا. And for you to benefit of those moments, you need to be focused, attentive to that, to Allah Ta'ala. And those moments can be sometimes at night, sometimes it can be during the day. That's why the poet says, يَعْبَمْ أَوْ نَيَعْبَمْ جُسْتُجُوا أَمِيكُنَمْ. These all these Persian poets, etc., poetry, etc., there is some origin in the hadith. There is some origin in the hadith. He says, I'll keep on trying. Whether things work out, they don't work out, but I'll keep trying. Now, why do you keep on trying? Because the one arrow is going to hit the target. That one dua is going to make it. Now, it's going to be it's going to be a great loss that when Allah Pak just opened the door for your acceptance, and you were not around, you were not focused, you were unmindful. So others got in, and you got lost. So logical conclusion is that just remain focused. You'll be there. He's going to open the door just now. At any given time, he'll open the door. And you don't know when he is going to open the door. So what he wants of you is to remain focused. That is why they give the reasons why the information of the Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, was taken away. Had Allah Pak given us the information, then we would have just worked on that single night and after that finished. Now here he left it ambiguous around perhaps the last odd nights, perhaps this night, perhaps that night. So you are working yourself right through. The 21st and 23rd again. Then sometimes you think, all right, maybe 26, I can hit a luck there. So you're working right through. Right through. You're not selective about the times that you need to engage yourself in ibadat. And the idea is Allah wants you to engage. Had He wanted to just give it to you, He would have just told you this moment. Again, you find on a Friday, Allah said there is a moment of acceptance. But there are about 40 different opinions as to when is that moment. Though the preferred time, they say, is from Asr to Maghrib. There too, they don't say exactly after Asr or just before Maghrib. What does Allah want? In this whole equation, you understand that Allah wants you to work right through, flat out. He could have told you 10 minutes after Asr or 20 minutes before Maghrib. Can't he say that? He can say that. But he just left it ambiguous. He has left it a little bit concealed. Because he wants you to gain. Now you'll just make zikr for the 10 minutes and gone after that. So he likes your crying. He likes your worship. He likes everything. It was the malaika had complained, you know, to Allah Ta'ala that this banda of yours and some selected servants of yours, they go on begging and begging and begging, and unka kaam to banta nahi. Things don't work out for them, right? And there are the others, they hardly see you, and unka kaam to ban jata hai, and their things are all worked out. Here, these people, they cry and they cry and they cry, they continue, but their things don't work out. And there are others, one shot and everything just works out for them. Khalas, they're gone. So, through an illustration, Allah Pak explained the malaika, what is the reason. So, alright, go into the earth again. You come to me. So, go back to earth and see that people have certain things in their cages. Go and see what do they have. So, the malaika made a proper research. What people have, parrots and beautiful colored birds, that chirp and give like a musical sound in the early parts of the morning, late part of the evening. They have a lot of attachment for it, a lot of attachment. They feed the thing with the hands, expensive cages, medication, vet charges, all that they take. They go through everything and they take it like their own child in those cages. So Allah asked them, alright, this is what they've got. But when you say that they love them and they keep them so special, they spend so much on them, they feed them like this, they take them for a medical examination, etc. But then why do they lock them up? So the malaika say they are locked up because they like their crying, they like their chirping, they like their music. Their crying is beautiful, their chirping is nice, the music that comes from them is so beautiful, so attractive. So they keep them, so they don't lose out their music, their sound, their voice, their chirping. So Allah Pak says, by the same token, this is a class of people, I like their crying. Their crying is dear, their crying is attractive, their crying is so beautiful. So I keep them in suspense. They keep crying, they keep crying, keep crying, until eventually I take them. And this other class, they ask and I give them, they're on the road now. But take it and go, I don't want to see you. Get lost. So that's the other crowd. And this is a crowd which Allah Ta'ala likes. And the whole secret is just remain focused, attentive in that direction. You don't know when that wealthy person is going to open the door of his gifts. You're going to keep begging him. One day he'll just open the faucet. Just take, take, take. But it requires of you that you remain focused at any given time. So this is the whole theme of the Khanqa, that you remain focused. Don't allow your mind to be wandering around here, there, this work here, I need to buy that, or iftar time, I need to eat this. And let's hope this is that type of samosa. You know. Nowadays you got the rocket samosa. Or something else, I don't know, but 3-4 new inventions they've got with it. Before you guys once plain samosa they had, now they got rocket and jalebi, no, I get confused, jalebi, samosa. So don't let your mind wander on these things here. Just let it focus. You came for some work here, not just for samosa and bhajiya or whatever. You came for some greater things. Why you get lost with all samosa and jalebi? You'll get whatever is in your takdeer, you'll get that. Like write a note, send a WhatsApp message to your wife, you know, get me this thing here for iftar. In your namaz, you think, hey, the samosa is coming. I hope that that sauce also is right. But where is your mind? Leave all these things here. They have higher things, great things. Don't have your mind so small. Let it be big. With the one that is full of majesty, then let your mind also be big. Ask for the great things. Small things of jalebi and all these things that you're asking for. But then, kaha bhag raha hai? So this is why you come here to the etikaf. See? Now it's easy to say, hey, you know, there's a crowd of people here and there are many other masajid, and why don't they service this masajid? Right? Around, maybe should be servicing them. Now, the one that doesn't understand what is the theme, he will make this type of a suggestion. Now, it is for him and for us to understand what's the theme, you see. In a nutshell, it's like this. This type of environment is like a madrasa, right? It's like a madrasa. And there may be some people in the madrasa that are very intelligent, very talented. Now, you can't advise the head of the madrasa that, you know, take some of the students and let them teach in all these neighboring madrasas, etc., etc. You know, the talents are getting wasted. Can't say them. Because they come for something even greater. Right? If they could have achieved these things, there would have been no reason to leave their homes and come here. But now that they realize that they can't achieve this in their own surroundings, they have to leave that surroundings and come to a surrounding where this thing is achievable, where it's achieved. See? So that is why you'll find that Zamana we seen, you know, and I was reflecting in the days of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there was nearly every notable alim, mufti, or a Shaykh al-Hadith that would come and spend some time. To the likes of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, he would come and spend some time. Hazrat Mawlana Alimiya Sahib, Mawlana Manzoor Ahmad Nomani Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Alimiya, Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib, Mawlana Umar Palanpuri Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Sayyid Palanpuri, you know, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith now, he used to come and spend time. So, any of those, that people of that category, they would spend time. Someone is spending some more time, someone is spending less time, according to the availability of time. Like how someone is coming in a night program, someone is coming in the day program, according to the time that's available for him is coming. And Allah Pak once said that when there is a gathering of people engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala vies with them over the malaika. Then the hadith also comes, when a person remembers Allah Ta'ala individually, then what is the effect? And when he remembers Allah Ta'ala in a gathering, then what is the effect? So here we come for a certain cause. When you come for a certain cause, then you can't allow your mind to be wondering, all right, you know, go and serve that masjid, go and serve this one here. So we need to understand what's the theme, what's the idea. It's going to be achieved, it's going to be achieved in a certain environment. So there will be certain talks, right? Your mind will open up. And the zikr is then administered to you. You're making zikr in that environment. Then you're getting the charge, right? You're getting that strength. So all these things here, can't you do it yourself? You can do it yourself there as well. But you leave those places and you come to a place to get this thing here. Otherwise, you can take kitabs and study yourself also. Can't you study yourself? You can take the kitab yourself and study. But then why do you come to an environment to study? You come because it's an encouraging environment. It's a study-free environment. So this is also like an environment. Environment for what? To learn. To learn what? To learn the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. How you want to get Allah Ta'ala. That's what we come for, isn't it? We want to come near to Allah Ta'ala. So there must be a way how you'll come to Allah Ta'ala. So to learn that, you need an environment that is friendly, encouraging, and we get there. To randomly just say something is bidat, see the implications, who will go to? All these great people, the Grand Mufti of Darul Dioban, the Sheikh ul Hadith, everybody, the implications will go right onto them. So try and understand why they have done this thing here. There's a reason. If these things, like I say, if these things were achievable and acquired in your own places, then there was no need to come here. So we understand that we need to have an environment, etc. Then these things do come about. Like studying, you need an environment. And when there is a studying friendly environment, then your studies go well. Let's go and see anybody, any child, that is doing his on his own. 8 years, 9 years, still battling. And suddenly you just push him onto an environment, on start, got a stick there, and then there's a couple of 10, 20 boys. So in two, 1 year, 1.5 year, he's finished. Right? So what he needed was an environment. Though he could have done that himself, he can read Tajweed. All he needed to is to memorize. So if the memorizing was the only thing, then there was no need for him to leave the comfort of his home 4 o'clock in the morning, and when winter or summer, his mother or father is dropping him and taking him in the evening. There's no need for that. But why are they going through this? So you understand that to achieve certain things, there are certain procedures that have to be followed. You follow the procedure, you get it right. So all these people, I saw personally coming. I can't now say that what my eyes saw wrong. I saw all these great people, and they are... The Mahatami Sahib Rahmatullah says, in order to be on the right, on the truth, then look at the senior and experienced righteous ulama of the time. And not just any ulama, but those that are ahl haq, that are sincere. Sincere, and they are on the haq right through, you see them. So you see them and watch their way. Then you understand, all right, this is the truth. Because every person cannot reason. Every person cannot understand. Some person can understand. Some person doesn't have the capacity to understand. Sometimes the arguments are a little bit too heavy. When they're too heavy, you're explaining to a person that is not so experienced and understanding. He can't understand. He can't get to grips. And it's easy to say this is bidat, this is haram. It's easy to say that. That person, he trusts that alim for whatever he has to say. So, it is then important for the ulama as well, whoever it is, they must understand this thing here, why it's done, why it's structured in a certain way, and why has this been designed in a certain way, why it's been designed. Now he understands the whole plan, then he knows he gets to grips. Like now you get a jamaat work, right? Now in the jamaat work, you're moving from one masjid to another masjid. Now was this done in the time of the Sahaba-i-Kiram? You don't see that, right? The whole 10, 12 people, came to one masjid, and then from one masjid they moved on to the next masjid. You don't see that happening. You don't see them now after Maghrib, alright, they made a group, now they're going for gush to the Muslims for this type of a reason. You don't see that happening. Right? They may have met for some other reasons, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, but not like how it's done and structured today. Now, because it's not structured like how the Sahaba-i-Kiram, like in the time of Sahaba-i-Kiram, can you just give a blanket ruling and say it's bidat? It's not the right thing, not a fair thing. You haven't studied the nitty-gritties, why they're doing it, why it's structured like this, and what's the difference between this and another bidat. If you didn't understand it, then take the time to find out. Rather than just labeling anybody and everybody, this is bidat, this is haram, this is like this. Hazrat Ramadhan used to say that, jo kachche hote hai, unse dar lagta hai. Even as an alim, but he's not so mature. He's too swift, you know, in his statement. Then we feel afraid of them. Oh, they go and confuse, complicate things. It takes time for you to understand things in perspective, understand the thing. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi used to come to Thana Bhavan. Now, what will he get in Thana Bhavan? As far as ilm is concerned, he's got the ilm, he's got the kitabs in Dioban. He's the head of the muftis in Dioban. So, even in that zamana, some ulama began to harass him. What's the need? You got so much of ilm, and you got so many kitabs. What's the need for you to go to Thana Bhavan? Every week you're going, small, short intervals, you're going and coming back. What's the need? He's the head of the muftis, and he's going every week, or every second week he's going. spending a day and coming back. Now they made the same statement that is made this day, people made at that time also. So he knows that when you're going there, then sometimes it is your understanding that improves. But that understanding improving, that improving the understanding, it takes time. Time needs to be settled, mind needs to be calm. Eventually, these concepts, they filter through. They settle within your hearts. Sometimes, it is just one statement that comes across. And really, it covered the entire cost of your journey. One statement. Like now, we went for Etikaf, right? So, the Mawlana Farid, it was, and he made an announcement on behalf of Mawlana Ibrahim. One door, right? Okay. He quoted Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. He says that when we recited the Quran Sharif, then what should be the niyat? See, like every ibadat has got something unique in it, right? Some unique effect it got. Like you're sitting for a kitab reading, it's an ibadat, it's got an effect, right? You're performing namaz, then it's got a unique effect. Tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That's the effect of the namaz. Roza, that is what an effect. La'allakum tattaqoon. That you learn taqwa, etc. So, reciting the Quran Sharif, then what should be the frame of the mind? How should the mind be? What should be the frame of the mind? The frame of the mind should be that this is a book of hidayat. Right? This is the book of Hudal lil Muttaqin, first line of Alif Lam, Surah Baqarah. And what Allah Pak announced, He announces this is a book of hidayat, a book of guidance. And this guidance is so important that every second of your life you need guidance. Now, if I talk about, if I the same thing, if I just extend it to something business, you understand it straight away. But indeed, you won't understand it. Business because you are attached. So, we will understand it when we talk about business. So, if someone was guided, for example, to the right investments, he's guided, but he's guided to the right investments, then how happy doesn't he feel? Hey, I invested in this thing, in Sasol, I invested. Hey, in 2 years, he went up 40%. Hey, Allah guided me. You know? That guidance there, you'll say, hey, Allah really guided me. You know? See, in business how your mind opens out. Because we attach a value there. Now, the same happens in our deen, that we need a certain guidance. Right? According to the portfolio of the person, he needs a guidance. And if he's guided to that, then he will do his best. Like, for example, it is in the interest of an individual that he must become an alim, right? It is in his interest. So, Allah Ta'ala guided him to it. And now that Allah Ta'ala guided him to it, so he's showing now how much you achieved just by becoming an alim. Because he was guided from the beginning. Now, opposed to a person who's not guided. When he's not guided now, he's going to do medicine one day, then he's doing engineering, architecture, he's doing something else. But he's, according to this person's mind and according to his temperament, the better thing for him was that he becomes an alim. He would have proved himself had he become an alim. So if on the first day Allah guided him, then what progress and what advancement he would have made. And if he didn't get that hidayat, he didn't get that type of a guidance, then could you imagine how backward he would have been, how much he's deprived. So like again, talk about that finance, right? And from the first day, he got that hidayat, you know, that you need to be investing in Sasol, right? So he went invested, right? That thing he turned, 1 million he turned, how much? 40%, 50%, nice. Just turning the 1 million to 2 million in about 10 years, 2 or 3 million became. Now, it's another person who is investing in everything else, some tomatoes, onions, chocolates, this side, that side. And after 10 years, it's wahi ka wahi, it's just that 1 mil. So he says, hey, I lost out, man. No, the money depreciated and I didn't make anything of my money. See, Why? Because Allah Pak's hand wasn't with him. And here Allah Pak's hand was with him. And what he made out of that? See, how he turned that thing. So when we recite in the Quran Sharif, Allah Pak, what's in my interest? You know, the itinerary that is in my interest, Allah Pak, just guide me to it. So there'll be different things that the person can be guided to. Like for example now, it's in the interest of one person that he must go out in Jamaat, right? So he came out in Jamaat, and through that person now, hundreds of thousands of people, they got Hidayat. Now that was in his itinerary. So he was guided to that. When he was guided to that, then how many people got guidance through that person? So this Hidayat, Allah has structured the world such that there is a center for everything. So the center of Hidayat is the Quran. You reading the Quran, Allah Pak, my Hidayat, just guide me to my Hidayat. My Hidayat. What's the Hidayat? What's the route for me? What's my itinerary? Allah Pak, guide me. So Allah Pak opens your mind, all right, you must do this. So that thing becomes stamped, endorsed in your mind, I must do this. So easy it becomes. Doesn't it become easy? There is a masnoon dua also that goes, وَلَا تُزْهِبْ طَلَبِي إِلَى شَيْءٍ صَرَّفْتَهُ عَنِّي. Don't let my mind go towards things that you haven't decreed for me. My mind, don't let it go behind things that you haven't decreed. Now my mind is going, going to invest here, go invest there, go this side here, go to Joburg, sell this thing here, go to Cape Town. But now, there is not going to be any barakat, but my mind is going all this place now. Can you imagine now the mental anxiety that you're going through? As compared to one person, Allah Pak just guided him straight. So his mind is so much more relaxed. He's so calm, so easy. And this person is not being guided. He's not guided. One day he's trying this, one day he's experimenting something else. And whilst he's experimenting also, he says, I don't know if it's going to work out, not going to work out. What if it doesn't work out? Then my 5 years of my studies are going to just go. 6 years of my studies. That's how I heard a few days ago. That person, he graduated, right, as a pilot or something, whatever he was. 6-7 years of studies. Now he can't get a job locally. Now he has to open up a shop and do business. Now, how must he be feeling and how will his elders feel? Okay, we made this investment on this child here so much and so many years, time and money. And after that 6-7 years, we understand that this child can't practice here. He can practice in some other country, can't practice for whatever reason. Allah Pak knows best. But you see, this guidance, right? The same guidance, right? It's used in different words. One is like I will explain to you, and the other way to explain it, some of the kitabs you get, okay, فَلَا آدْمِي مُوَفَّقْ هَي. Okay, he is a guided. He is a person. What he's saying from Allah Ta'ala. Like a lot of people used to say of Hazrat Alim Yasab Rahmatullahi, he is muwaffaq. That wherever he goes, if it's a simple talk or a high profile talk, but it leaves its mark. It leaves its mark. So I just digress a little bit just to make us understand what is this all about. So we come in here. Now, when we're coming here, so what should be the mindset? The mindset should be focused on the theme. Mind mustn't be wandering around, I'll do this, eat, shopping, and what gift I have to take for so-and-so, and did I see this person right, or I need to settle some things with him. Mind will be settled. Like you're waiting for that vault just to open. It's waiting for it to open. And you're saying, Allah Ta'ala, I'm not eligible, I'm a beggar, I'm not eligible. But I need you, Allah Ta'ala. I need your love. I know I'm not eligible. I'm not worthy. From my mind, you know, I know it. I'm not worthy. But you are the giver. Innaka antal wahhab. You are the giver. You are the bountiful. And you will give. Right? And you like us begging. So I'm not asking because I feel that I am deserving. I'm asking because you like us to beg. Right? You like us to ask. So therefore I'm begging Allah Ta'ala. So what we are getting across came with this announcements made in Nizamuddin. Start off there. I suppose the barakat of Nizamuddin and many other things just opened out, right? Allah, let our hearts unite. all people are doing dini work that are on the sunnah, on the straight path, then our hearts must be with them. Right? We don't become a fariq, we become a rafiq. We don't become a fariq, we don't become an opposition. We become a partner in the good. Right? So if any person is doing any good work, any dini work, then deen is for me, isn't deen for me? So every individual, Hazrat Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there was a priest who challenged Muslims to a debate. You know, Hazrat Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was a great muhaddis. So he challenged the Muslims. So some people had some malice against Hazrat Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Any person that is godly and he's got a following, then he has enemies as well. Right? If he has those people that are supporting, then he will have some enemy as well. So he had also a lot of people against him. So people deliberately indicated to that priest that he must call Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah on a debate. Because they felt that he wasn't so eloquent and there was some stutter and stammer in his speech, so he'll be embarrassed, you know. He'll be embarrassed, and you know, we'll have a field day that he'll be really embarrassed. So the priest insisted, you know, I'm going to debate and I challenge Shah Ishaq Sahib, because that's how he was being tutored, you see. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he accepted the challenge. His students insisted that you don't go, we will go on your behalf. Because he understood that Shah Sahib wasn't very eloquent and there was a stutter in his speech. So no, but when this person has challenged me, he's invited me, then it is my duty to accept the challenge. Anyway, the debate took place. The priest, something happened at the time that this debate started off. He couldn't just speak. He was looking for words, founding, you know, can't get through. And then Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had to speak. He came, the words just began to flow, and there were several Hindus that accepted Islam. All right, the debate ended, everything finished. So then Shah Sahib spoke up to those Muslims that were spurring up the priest against him. He says, you see, if I was defeated, it wasn't a big deal. It could have been just an embarrassment to myself. Lekin tumhara Islam ka kya ho gaya? Tumhara Islam ka kya ho gaya? Tum bhi Musliman ho. You're also Muslims, and then how did you have that type of a heart to get a non-Muslim to defeat me that will amount outwardly to the defeat of Islam? Tumhara Islam ka kya ho gaya? So, when in dini work, then we should be thinking that the whole deen is mine. Every Muslim should be thinking that the whole deen is mine. So if someone is working and active in one department of deen, then I need to be thankful to him. Bhai, ye toh mera kaam hai, aur tum kar rahe ho, shukriya, teri meherbani. May Allah Ta'ala reward you, it was my work, and you are cooperating in my work, so may Allah Ta'ala reward you immensely. If it's my car, and I need someone to push the car, right? The car needs to be stuck, to be pushed, or it needs a kickstart or something, right? And someone came up, and he offered some help. So won't I be thankful to him? Or I will say, no, it's my car, let me only do it alone. I'll be thankful to that person. So ye deen bhi har aadmi ka hai, har musliman ka hai. It's the property of every Muslim. So if anybody is assisting, cooperating in any aspect of deen, then I need to have the heart. Okay, mera kaam tha, Khuda Ta'ala ne uske dil mein dal diya, Allah Pak put in his heart to help me. So if everybody thinks like this, then what will be the type of mindset then? Will it be a friendly mindset? Will it be a happy environment? Will it be a cooperative and a very understanding environment? Or an environment of prejudice, environment of jealousy, environment of arrogance, environment of boastfulness? What type of environment will you have? Now it will be a friendly environment. Say, ye bhi mera dost hai, ye bhi mera dost hai, ye bhi mera kaam kar raha hai. He's also cooperating. He's also assisting. What can I do for him? Let me make dua for him. Or let me call him sometimes saying, Jazakallah, I'm making dua for you. Let me send him a gift or something. Now you look at the equation, and you look at the equation differently. This person is also helping in the cause of deen. This person is also helping in the cause of deen. And the deen is mine. Because if the deen improves because of his contribution, then everybody benefits. Not just one person benefits, but the whole town benefits, the whole world benefits because of his effort, right? His effort then you found a different level where there were, for example, 10 musallis coming to a masjid. Now these people made some effort, now you're getting 100 musallis. Right? When you got 100 musallis, then now you've got different people coming with different talents. Right? Someone is a hafizab, someone is an alim, all coming to the masjid now. So this was now on account of the invitation, extended that everybody are coming. So your child is going, he's benefiting from the hafizab, he's benefiting from the alim, someone is giving a talk, someone is giving some advice, someone is teaching a hafiz class. So overall, the whole community is benefiting. Then when you saw so many people coming to the masjid, right, 100 as compared to 10, right, now you feel more motivated. Now you feel difficult that you don't go for namaz. Because you know now, there's 100 people there. Say, bhai, masjid mein tum nahi the, aaj kya ho gaya? So you feel embarrassed now. You feel a little bit ashamed. Okay, people will catch you out. You weren't there for namaz. So it's a very encouraging and a very motivating environment. As compared to, you know, it's just my work. Be selective, etc. No? The deen, we don't work like that. We think for ourselves, think for the next person as well. So, this was all coming out from this announcement of Mawlana Sulaiman Janji Rahmatullah Alayh. Right? That was the first announcement. Some of you all may have not seen, I think most may have not seen, some may have seen. It used to be, like Ramzan, when you go and visit, you used to be making door with Mawlana Zubair Sahib. I don't know if you remember. Mawlana Zubair Sahib sometimes deciding, making door to him. The second announcement that he used to make, this was the first announcement. Iman ki aur saman ki hifazat karna. I don't know if today's changed, but I know that was when you used to go to the markaz. Iman aur saman ki hifazat. Look after your stuffs, look after your iman. Look after your stuff and look after your iman. See? So in your saman, say ye tumhara handbag hai, tumhari attachi hai, tumhari chappal hai. One tartib, handbag, attachee, chappal, every day. I don't know, is the same tartib or tartib has changed now. Look after these stuffs. Now, just extend it to our situation. We need to look after ourselves, our stuffs, right, our personal belongings, and ourselves as well. We don't get caught in every discussion. One person is talking something, someone is talking something else, someone is talking about a third thing. Like we came for a certain cause. These things are also important, but after everything is over, we'll go and discuss that. Now, shaitan finds it prudent, when you're in this, he'll change your mind and say, you know, you must study this kitab here, and you need to go for this program here, and, you know, this thing is happening here, what do you know about it? And this jihad is taking place there, and, you know, do you participate in that? Now, shaitan finds it prudent to distract you. See the ways to distract. You're doing work, tawajjuh ke saath, dhyan ke saath, kuch kaam kar rahe. Now it's easy to distract the person's mind. Yeah, hey, we're left out. They're sitting here, not doing, we're doing nafil ibadat. So what's the mazah in nafil ibadat? I'll go for that. I'll just explain this once. See, now, these are all concepts, and I think our cover is so dense, you know, one point, it takes time to illustrate. So he says, one student was studying, right? And whilst he was studying, so there was a call for jihad. So he got really, really spurred up. I must go for the jihad, you know, sawab and whatever else. Then he began to reflect, okay, you know, really must I go for this or not? Then he had a second thought. He says, the catalyst in me going out now is that in jihad, what happens? I'll go right in the front line, fight a little bit, get shaheed, I got my jannat, right? So there isn't a big struggle. Right? Now in the studying and all that, there's a 10-year course as it is, Hafiz, Qari Sahib, Maulana, then I can start work, I can do start something. 10 years, do this, don't do this, get out of home, simple food, restrain from this, look after your eyes, look after your time, don't talk here, don't listen to this. So many do's and don'ts, you know, so much of struggle. Here is a shortcut, I'll just get into Jannah one way. I'll just fight a little bit, and straight away I'll get to Jannah. And here it's such a long battle, say a long struggle, out of home, out of my comfort, out of everything else. And then it's battle. Then through my whole life, I was living in constraints. Yeah, it just a few strokes, I made my investment to Jannah, gone. So then this is nafs then. Well, who's talking here? It's not your deen that's talking, it's your nafs. You want that whole thing to be expedited, to be simplified, easy, in two twos, you're getting to your goal. So the real catalyst is not the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِدْوَانًا. It is the ease and the comfort of the nafs. So then he's telling the nafs, see, I'll push you the hard way. You want all these things easy, just get there, make a few strokes and you finish. Khalas, you got your jannah. No, I'll take you the long way. You have to break your nafs. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي وَنَهَنْ نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Go to this person, make tabliq here, talk to this person here, get this person to the masjid, get this thing established, get the dini work done. So, it's like a slow torture, you know, torturing yourself all the time. One is, you went there and they beheaded you, finished class. One is the torturing all the time, burning you today, tomorrow they're pulling out your fingernail, the third day they make you sit like a golden chair, you know, all different type of exercise they're putting you through. So it's a hard one, isn't it? You hear that someone died, it's finished. Yesterday someone was telling me that his uncle or someone, they had a sand pit or something, some business they were doing. So he was examining, and someone put the machine on. The man got sucked in, gone. And how many years passed, they still can't find the body, right? So when this person is dead, right? When he's dead, finished that, you don't have a trauma or anything, right? But now you don't know whether this person is alive or not alive, he's kidnapped, he's hijacked, what's happening to him, 1 year passed. So what happens to you? So this mujahada is like that. You went through some mujahada today, tomorrow some other mujahada, some other difficulty. Right? So a Muslim is not supposed to be thinking like that. He's supposed to be thinking, what is it? What's in the interest of deen? What's in the interest of deen now as I stand? What should I be doing? What type of effort? As far as that work is concerned, that it's farz as well, jihad. But that's farz kifaya, like how you get janaza namaz, right? It's farz kifaya, a few individuals will do it, and the rest of the community is absolved of the obligation. Right? Now if, for example, there's one farz happening at the madrasa, right? And there's another janaza namaz, for example, in Hilal Masjid. Now, must all the students leave the masjid and go for the janaza namaz? Or a few individuals will go for that, and the studying must carry on. What do we do? In our circular studies, what do we do? Few individuals go for that, and the thing must carry on. In our business, what do we do? the business must carry on, because if you look in town, I think every day someone is passing away. Someone is passing away. Every day you have to close your shop. 2 hours, 3 hours, go for that and come back. Go for the ghusl, go for the namaz, go to the qabristan, 3 hour job. Right? So a few individuals will do that, whilst the rest will do other work. See this, how there's a balance in deen. Now, if a person doesn't understand the balance in deen, then this is the problem that he will put himself into. So this was the second announcement that was carried out in Nizamuddin. Right? And the third announcement was related to the topic that we are busy with. It's a lengthy topic, but I'll just introduce it some other time, inshallah, we'll speak about it. He says, you come to a place like this, whether it's a markaz or a place like this, you get all types, people coming from all backgrounds, right? If they were all pious and righteous, they wouldn't have come here. They would have done whatever they were doing in their own surroundings. But everybody feels, no, I need to do something for myself. I need to improve, I need to correct myself. Like when we were there in Etikaf, right? Then Ibrahim Devla, Tamad Barakatum, as senior as he is, but he came to spend time there in the Etikaf. But a senior, you know, like you will say, it's about the most senior most person in the Jamaat, right? But then he also saw the need that I need to come here and spend a few days here. Right? Senior as he is, as aged as he is, as weak as he is, but he came to spend some time there. So he, you could have told him also, Murana, you know, there's more takaza that side. Go and give a bayan that side here. Don't just stay in Jambusar. A lot of talent is just in here, stifled here in Jambusar. Go that side, there's a big takaza that side. Go and give a talk there. You know, how many people will benefit? And I've told him the same thing. But he understands. He understands that this also has to be done, and this has to be done in a certain sequence. You can't mix up things. Mix up and confuse. Yeah. We give our two cents. Obviously, you create a confusion. From the confusion, then it gets into an argument. I am better, and you will say, you are better. Yeah. But try and understand the person. You understand the person, you won't get a confusion. So this person understood that this, the qaza is coming from the nafs and shaitan. That here, this more important dini work, this farz kifaya is being done, but the shaitan wants to me not to do this type of work, get into this, right? So that there will be no dini work carrying on here. The dini levels will just drop, finish. So this third announcement that used to take place in Nizamuddin was, people come from all different types, different walks of life, different walks, different backgrounds they come from. When they came, they come for their own reformation, own correction, own improvement they come for, right? So, when they come for their own improvement, that means there was something deficient in them. Therefore, they came in. Now, there will be two types of people that will come in. One person will come, he'll come to see, all right, this person here, what's the fault in him? And this person here, what's the weakness in him? And this person here, I don't see him getting up for tahajjud. This person here, he doesn't come for the first serve. That person, he eats too much. Yeah. And that person, he's a show-off. Making dua and he's crying. No, it's a show-off. That person is doing this now. He's looking for everybody's faults. And the second person says, you know, hey, I do see what's the good here. This person here, I see he gets up at 2 o'clock. And I'm only getting up 4 o'clock. Hey, he's overtaken him. Hey, big way, I am in a loss. And that person there, I see he's just committed to his work. Does his work, he's in the masjid, he's got his place and he's carrying on with work. Now I need to correct myself like this. So now he's looking at the picture differently and he's looking at it differently. Then he gave an analogy. Well, Sulaiman Janji gave an analogy. He says like, a swine walks into an orchard, right? Full of fruit, you know, seasonal, everything is blooming. So the swine is not going to look for the fruit, he's not going to look for the taste, he's not going to look for the beauty and purity. He's going to look for, if he looks for filth. Fertilizer, sewage, etc. Look for all that. Left all the good, and he look for all the dirt. But if the person has a little bit of understanding, and Allah Pak has blessed him, he says, hey, there's so many good things here, man. I can take a peach here, and I can take this mango here, chaucer, best mango in India, huh? I can take that. And the lychees, hey, like this year we saw lychees, alhamdulillah, I don't think we've seen this type of lychees, even in Snemba, I don't know. Really. You know that lychee got a little bit of a sour taste. Huh? What do you call it? Bitter, sour. Huh? So that is not even that. So big, the sizes, the seeds are so small and exceptionally sweet. So this person is walking into the orchard, right? He's walking with a different frame of mind. You know, what can I enjoy? I can enjoy this. Now we need to understand then who do we need to identify with? With this person or that person? With the person who is right in his mind or the swine? Now this was the analogy that Mullah Janji Sahib Rahmatullahi had given. But it's a beautiful analogy. It gives us something to think about. Right? How should I reason? How should I have my mindset when I come to this type of an environment? Allah Baktawfi Naseeb.